If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, you could open up to that passage in 1 Peter. If not, it'll be up on the screen here. I'm 66 years old. Yeah, Wow is right. Nancy's excommunicated. No, I'm only kidding. I'm 66 years old. And I have those days where I say, how am I this old now? And you look back on your life and you realize that the years do fly. And it seems like the older you get, the more they fly, right? So I say that to say this. When you look back and you look over your life, there are some people that you meet along the way that have a huge impact in your life. Some of those are our family, hopefully. Some of those are friends. And I just want to give you just a quick illustration that happened to us. I met a guy. We interviewed for a company. We were hired on the same day. And we struck up a friendship. This is going back to 1976, okay? Or actually 75, 1975. And we worked in different offices, but we lived in the same town, struck up a friendship. And that friendship started to develop. Well, fast forward a little bit in 1978, in September, as a matter of fact, on the 29th, Joey was born. In how many of you remember Point Pleasant Hospital? Okay. You're old. He has a condo now. He was born in Point Pleasant Hospital, and Mary Lou had a tough pregnancy, almost lost both of them in that time. And up comes my friend, whose name was Ed. We look like Mutt and Jeff. He's 6 foot six, you know, and I'm barely 5'7", at least I used to be. And he comes walking in with this little Yankee hat, because he knows I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and a bat for this little kid. Well, he wasn't little. He was 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Six weeks. I'm sorry? Oh. 6 weeks premature. No, God bless me. God bless Mary Lou. She had all the pain. So he comes walking in with this. And I didn't even know him that well, but he came. And he was always very gentle, always asking what he could do. And he was the first one to see my son on that day. So the friendship started to come together, and he was dating a young woman who he's now married to, who happens to be Kelsey's aunt, and they eventually got married, and we would go to dinner over their house, and very gently and with love, he would share the great things about Jesus Christ with us. From the start, when he and Jeannie, his wife, started sharing those things with us, to the point where we finally showed up at church, and I thought the church would cave in, was about 18 months. But there was one thing about Ed, no matter what I said to him, no matter what a hard time I gave him, no matter how difficult I was, he never gave up on me. He never gave up on me. And so when we walked in that church, it was actually the first Sunday of November. I'll never forget it. And the pastor preached how much Jesus loves us to the point where Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. And I'm saying, whoa, for me? Now, it was at that Sunday that Mary Lou and I both gave our hearts to Christ in repentance and faith. But what astounded me was Jesus has some friends. He has some close friends, right? He had 12 of them. One of them betrayed him. Judas. Have you ever been betrayed by a good friend? Okay. And yet Jesus, in spite of the betrayal, still went to the cross to die for me. I think that's incredible. So I tell you that story just to say how valuable friends are. All of us have gone through difficult times at one time or another, correct? Can you reflect back for a moment where you had good friends who were instrumental during those times? Can you remember those things? Okay. What we do many times, I fear, and I know I do this also, I take many of God's blessings for granted. I really do. Now, this friend, Ed, ends up pastoring out in Denver, Colorado, actually in Littleton, which is a suburb of Denver. And although we're about 2,000-something miles away, we have kept in touch. And it's kind of a special bond there, too, because this was, you know, the man through who introduced me to Jesus Christ. So we keep in touch. So when we talk maybe 2-3 times a year, sometimes more. It's like we were never apart. It's like we were never apart. I will never take that for granted. And some of us lose friends, don't we? Lose friends who, unfortunately, through disease or old age, and those things hurt. And I know they do, but we value their friendship. We value the time we have with them. So let me list some of the things that we may take for granted, all right? I don't want to hear any boos or any comments, but these are the things we tend to take for granted. Our marriages, children, our jobs, incomes, housing, clothes, food, and most of all, our great salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But there's another gift I think God makes available for us, and that's the gift of friendship. It's the gift of friendship. What worries me today is the fact that we live in a culture that is becoming increasingly sterile. You know what I mean by that? Everybody's so suspicious of each other. Everybody, you know, you're more concerned about what your political views are than who you are as a person. It seems to me, and if I'm off base here, you can tell me, generally speaking, unless you're fortunate to live in a neighborhood where you have friendly neighbors, a lot of times you don't even know who your neighbor is. And I'm kind of spoiled. We came from North Jersey where you knew everybody. We had block parties, you know, we just doors were open. And you know, it just seems like now we're afraid to make friends. In the letters that Paul writes and Peter and John, I think we make a serious error many times, because in the beginning of a letter, with the exception of Galatians, there's a greeting, and we can learn a lot even from the greetings of the letter. And at the end of the letters, there's usually more greetings. And we can learn a lot from those. And I would suggest that you and I can learn some great principles about God's gift of a grace-filled friendship from these sections of Scripture. Now, I'm gonna give you just a short theology lesson here, so please just bear with me, all right? Biblically speaking, and you can disagree with me, but I would show you in the Bible, biblically speaking, we are all made in God's image, every single one of us. God says that. Let us create mankind, and let us create them in our image. Genesis chapter 1. What does that mean? Well, it means many things, but let me give you just a nutshell. Being created in God's image, at the very least, means that you and I have the capacity to love others. Should I repeat that again? Being created in God's image means you and I have the capacity to love others. God loves, correct? God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only begotten Son, that whoever should believe, trust in him, should not perish but have eternal life. God loves. Not only does he love, but God is relational. Excuse me. He's relational in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The old theologians, especially the primitive theologians, called the Trinity the family of God. They love each other perfectly. They never fought. They never argued. Still don't. perfect love. God is relational. Now, let me just give you follow this through as we continue this quick theology lesson. When God created man and woman, he didn't create them because he was lonely. God was complete in himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, complete. He didn't need us. But he created us so we can enjoy a relationship with him. Make sense? That relationship was fractured when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Quite honestly, he went out and he disobeyed God. And that sin, which we call original sin, then is imparted to us. So we're born enemies of God, rebels, sinners. And God so loved us that he provided the solution for that, saying, I'm going to send my son to die for your sin on the cross of Calvary so you can be forgiven. And we can have relationship again through faith in what he did for you. I'm underscoring this whole idea of relationship because I really fear, even especially for our young people, that because of the way our culture is and because of some social media, we miss out on what relationships are all about. True, healthy relationships. God loves perfectly, and God has boundaries, doesn't he? The God of the Bible has boundaries. What was one of his boundaries? His boundary is that he hates sin. That's a boundary, correct? Another boundary is that he doesn't like, this is offshoot of sin, but all you have to do is go through the Ten Commandments. Don't take his name in vain. Don't lie, don't cheat. I mean, those are boundaries. Those are godly boundaries. And so he has boundaries. The reason why I bring that up is because healthy relationships have good, healthy boundaries. And so I don't have time to go into all of that today, but just keep following along. In this passage, Peter says, with the help of Silas, Barnabas, John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, and Paul, all were connected because Paul took Silas, Barnabas, and John Mark on the first missionary journey, and then he took everybody except John Mark on the second missionary journey. So they knew each other, but he says, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as, what's the word? Faithful brother. Wasn't a blood brother, it was a brother in Christ. Okay? In other words, they were friends. A faithful brother. I would have to say of many of you, including my own brother, blood brother, that many you're faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. That means a lot. I also want to make this point too, that I have some friends who aren't Christ followers, who are faithful also. Okay? And that's a good thing too. And he says, I regard you as faithful. I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Let me give you some of the characteristics of what friendship should look like. Number one, we should have a servant's heart toward each other with healthy, godly boundaries. A servant's heart, meaning I want to do what's best for my friend. I want to do what's best for my friend. How do I know what's best? For us who are Christ followers, well, we find that here, okay, in God's words. So what does that mean, I want to do what's best for my friend? That means we respect each other's boundaries. We respect each other's healthy boundaries. So if I call up a friend and I say, hey, you know, I really need some help right now. Could you come down right away? And my friend says, no, I'm sorry, I can't. You know what? I don't give him a hard time. I respect his no. You know what the typical reaction is, even for some Christ followers? After all I've done for you, you have the nerve to say no to me? Now, good friends respect each other's healthy boundaries. Not everybody's available sometimes, right? And your friend doesn't exist for you. And so we need good, healthy, godly boundaries. We respect each other's boundaries. What that means also is we don't gossip about them or tell other people, hey, you know what? I called Tommy today. He's bigger than me. I have to be careful. I called Tommy today, asked him to help moving something. And you believe he had the nerve to say no? So I tell Jared that, right? And Jared tells Cy, and Cy I'm not saying they would, but good friends don't gossip like that. We don't gossip, you know, about each other. Psychologists call that triangulation, all right? Triangulation, by the way, is one of the biggest things that will upset a marriage. Hopefully you marry your best friends. Triangulation will always upset a marriage because you know what happens when there's a problem? Either the husband or wife calls a friend and says, let me tell you what my wife just did. Listen, 9.9 times out of 10, it's going to get back. And it's not right. You have a problem, you straighten it out with your wife or your husband. Nobody else needs to know about it. If you need professional counseling or marital counseling, then you go to the right people, okay? But true friends don't gossip. True friends don't do that stuff to one another. Something tells me that sometimes we need to work on those skills because it's easy to slip back in that old mode. Friendship is not contingent on whether or not a friend is a Christ follower. I'm friends with people who have yet need to come to know Christ, but that's not why I'm a friend with them. I'm a friend because they're a friend. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? And I don't make them a target. They're not a target, you know? I value their friendship. I like being with them. And so we really need to be careful in these areas. Friends respect other friends' boundaries. I would be careful of friends, and this applies in dating relationships also. My young people know this because we went through this in boundaries for dating. But if a friend tries to cut you off from your family, from other friends, and manipulates you, that's not a friend. That's a dangerous situation. Gabish? Do I need to repeat that again? That's a dangerous situation. Friends don't manipulate. True friends don't manipulate. True friends minister to one another. And they respect your relationships with your family. They respect your relationships with your other friend. They respect your preferences. They respect what you like and don't like. Do you ever have a friend where you know they want you to do something, say, oh, I don't care for that? What do you mean you don't care for that? How can you not care for that? You know, and you go on to these tirades. No, let the no be no. Beware of friends who want to cut you off from your family or your existing friendships. Friendships require real person-to-person interactions. That's what happened with Silas here. Person-to-person interactions. Now, listen, I like social media. I think it could be used in great ways. It could also be used in harmful ways. But I think it could be used in great ways. However, social media is no substitute for face-to-face interactions. Here's where I think we're lacking. I think because we depend on social media so much, and we can establish relationships on social media, we think we have friends. Listen, friendships are very interpersonal. When you see somebody face to face, first of all, you're seeing what you really have. And face to face interactions will reveal things about a person's character, a person's principles. I can't tell you how many horror stories I hear about people who say they meet people online and they're nothing like they thought. You know? And I'm thinking about that. You know, online I could be 6'2 and 150 pounds, you know? It gets crazy. But my fear for our young people is that we need to help them develop healthy interpersonal skills by which they'll be able to make good friends. Friends who value them. Friends require real person-to-person interactions. Spending time together in real life in safe venues, in safe places, can reveal many things about character and personality. You know that old expression, first impressions count? Well, they do. But you can't get a first impression from being online. It's just impossible. You need to see people face to face. Friends encourage one another. I have written to you briefly, what's the word? Encouraging you. Friends encourage. They encourage. Not flatter, but encourage. Encourage how? To do the right thing. Encourage to do things that help. Encourage to stay away from destructive behaviors. There's a million ways we can do this. And so we encourage one another in an appropriate way. One of those ways is speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. Now, I use this illustration a lot because maybe some of you can relate to it. Some years ago, when I was pastoring at a different church, we did a Easter sunrise service, and it was outside on the water. And I got through the whole service, and somebody came up to me after the service and said, "Pastor, we didn't want to say anything, but your fly was open." You can laugh. It's a true story. I didn't think it was so funny. Kind of embarrassing, right? But I would have wished somebody would come up to me beforehand or during the service and say, "Pastor, we have a little problem here." I said, "Oh, okay, it's the same thing, would you want a friend to tell you that you have spinach in your teeth, that type of thing. Friends will tell you the truth in love. Warren Wiersbe coined one of the best phrases I ever read about doing this, and he said, truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. You need both. You need to share truth with love. And so, good friends do that. We encourage each other when it's appropriate to honor Christ in everything we say and do. If I have an unbelieving friend and they want me to do something that doesn't honor Christ, and I say no, if that friend is a true friend, they'll respect my no. And I would be able to then have to earn a hearing with them to say, "Are you really sure you want to do this? Are you really sure?" We encourage each other to honor Christ in everything we say and do. We honor Christ in everything we do without compromise. Without compromise. I've written you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is what? True grace of God. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. His unending love towards us in Christ. And he says, stand fast in it. Plant your feet on it. Let God's grace through Christ fill your life so that you can have grace-filled marriages and grace-filled friendships. People who are Christ followers should cultivate this grace-filled relationship. Let me give you a couple of things that would cultivate these relationships. We are to be quick to forgive each other. Is that a problem? To be honest, it's not nice to lie in church. It's a problem for me sometimes, to be very honest. It's only with God's help I can do it. We should be quick to forgive each other. We should be quick to ask for forgiveness if we have offended somebody. Are we willing to ask forgiveness for when we have wronged a friend? And so, I'm giving you a quick snapshot of what God desires in my reading of the scriptures, a friendship. I'm hoping, and I really pray this, not only for our younger people, but for our older people too. I'm hoping we really recover the gift of friendship. The gift of friendship. There's no guarantees in friendship, by the way. You can open yourself up in friendship towards another, and you may risk getting hurt. Gee, it seems like Jesus did that for me, huh? He opened up his arms for many years, and I said no. And I, looking back, I say, Lord, I'm sorry for saying no to your love for me. You can get hurt. You know what? All right. Don't throw things at me. One of the movies Mary Lou and I saw, I think we were dating. I'm not even sure if we were married yet. Was, remember Love Story? Right? Being in love means never having to say you're sorry. What a crock. Seriously, you know. What a crock. There's a point where Ed Tafalowski, who was the friend I was telling you about, told me about the incredible love for Jesus Christ had for me personally. And that day in November, I went and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for offending you with my sin and my rebellion. And you know what Jesus did? He didn't point his finger and say, I told you so. Or he didn't point his finger and say, get away from me. You know what he did? He said, you come. With his hands open wide. Thank God Jesus is quick to forgive. Thank God Jesus tells us the truth in love. Thank God Jesus is the friend that we have as sinners. Otherwise, we'd have no hope. Isn't that true? And thank you all for your friendships. Keep cultivating them. Keep speaking truth in love. Keep pointing people to the grace of Christ. And you can see what God can do through a friend. Now, one last thought, and then I'll shut up, okay? If you've gotten burned in the past by a friend, you're in good company. Don't let that deter you from building good friendships. Because there are good people out there who know how to be good friends. So don't let that deter you. Amen? By the way, in the last verse of this, let me just read it for you. She who's in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends greetings, her greetings, and so does my son Mark, John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Nobody knows who this is. And so Babylon was probably a code word for someplace in Rome or the Roman Empire. This may be referring to Peter's wife. I'm not sure. Nobody knows. But here's what I want you to grasp onto. Look at verse 14. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, that doesn't mean you should all get up and kiss one another, okay? But it does mean a handshake, a hand on a shoulder, a sincere greeting can go a long way in friendship. Amen? Amen. Going to ask Bill and Alexis to come up.